This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Aboriginal population is the fastest growing segment of Canada's population, and Vancouver Island University has one of the highest Aboriginal participation rates of any post-secondary school in British Columbia. Approximately 9% of VIU's student body is Aboriginal, and many of those students come from remote or isolated communities. I'm joined in the studio by Dale Hunt, who is the Aboriginal recruiter at VIU, and by Richard Asakan, the university's Aboriginal career coordinator. Welcome to People First Radio, guys.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, thanks.
Dale Hunt, you're a VIU graduate, and now you work for the university. What were some of your experiences as a student, and what do you see among Aboriginal students today?
Well, I think one of my first experiences that I experienced at VIU was that I moved from a small community. I moved from North Vancouver Island, Port Hardy, which is a semi-isolated community. So that therein lies itself. One of my first challenges as a student was having to move away from my home, away from my family and community to attend post-secondary. However, it was a goal and vision of mine to attain a post-secondary education. So I think that when I chose Vancouver Island University, it was part and parcel because of the closeness of the university as well as the program that it had. So I came out of a First Nations Studies program, and it was the community that within that program was one of the biggest reasons why I stayed. So that was probably one of the most profound experiences that I had at VIU, was being connected to the community and being connected to the students through the First Nations Studies program. And I'm seeing a little bit of a shift in some of the students today, in that when I recruit students, there seems to be, and this may speak to the previous interview that you had, where there's not really a clear vision as to where these students can fit, how education can play a role in that shift. So I think that as I go out and recruit now, I'm finding that there's not as much vision or goals, clear goals, as to how education and post-secondary education, in particular VIU, can support community economic development, can support communities in a way that helps them sustain themselves socially, economically, politically, and culturally. So I hope that.
Dale, you're a recruiter for VIU now. You attended VIU, and you described the experience of moving into post-secondary education. Were you yourself recruited, so to speak, or what happened? How did you end up at VIU?
Well, it's actually funny. I wasn't particularly recruited. I actually went to a guidance counselor. I knew I wanted to go to post-secondary. I just wasn't too sure where. So I spoke with my guidance counselor, and he gave me a number of options and a number of programs that he felt that I could particularly fit into. So I chose Malaspina at the time, now VIU, because of the program and because of the community there. So I wasn't particularly recruited by somebody. Mm.
Richard Asakan, what do you see and hear among Aboriginal students in the career counseling work that you're involved in?
Right now, today, most students are a bit anxious to get out there into the working world, but they don't know how. And they don't have the history background on their resumes to support competing for some of those great jobs, those dream jobs. So what I try to do is connect them with some experiences and maybe push them into areas other than just going to be a cashier at a grocery store. Help them get into government positions, internships, co-ops, something they can put on their resume. So they're wanting those experiences. They want that future. They want to build towards that future. And I think me as an Aboriginal career coordinator can support that as long as they're willing.
So is this then a process that you engage in with students during the course of their studies, even over a period of, months or years in some cases?
Yeah. most of the students that I work with benefit a great deal. And usually at the start of the year, like last fall, just do some classroom visits, introduce myself. And I generally work with them throughout the 2 semesters, even through the summer, adjusting their resumes, working on their cover letters, coaching them, helping them get some confidence in their own abilities to achieve. So basically doing some career counseling, some job coaching, and some basic technical stuff with career resumes and cover letters.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how long you've been involved in that work, but I'm wondering if you've been involved for a period of time, have you observed any changes over time in the either the challenges that students present with or the skills that they come already equipped with over the years? Has any of that changed?
I've been involved in career counseling since about 2006, actually. And I did notice a slight change. I think that there's more ambition to achieve, and there's more desire to get, like, that study that they want to get those jobs that pay them the money that allow them to be self-determined, to provide for their families, to provide for themselves, to enjoy life. So I think I see a trend in going into that area. And I think they're throwing aside assimilationists kind of notions and just being proactive and getting out there and enjoying the world.
Yeah, just kind of just going for it, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay. Recent research by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives has found that income inequality between Aboriginals and non-Aboriginals is entirely eliminated for women, particularly with university degrees. But the study also points out that while greater educational attainment among Aboriginal people would overcome some portion of existing income inequality, education in itself will not redress ongoing inequalities. Now, the two of you were present in the studio when we had that discussion about that study, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts you'd like to share, Dale Hunt.
Okay, speaking to a little bit of the inequality, I think that education does contribute, and it will contribute. I think that there needs to be, I mean, and we're talking about all across Canada, too. There are 500 years of colonization, as was spoken to. However, you know, east of the Rockies, there are numbered treaties that have been established. So there are certain parameters in which communities can self-govern themselves. And west of the Rockies, we're still establishing a BC treaty process. So I think that that may contribute to how education can support communities. Because there are certain strategies from a recruitment perspective that I can speak to in order to find the needs of the communities, find out where their youth are at, where their social situation, their cultural, their economic, and their political situation is, to find out how education can contribute to that. So I think that there needs to be a strategy involved when you're engaging with communities, when you're engaging with Aboriginal people, students, because there are generations of learners there. So there are different needs for those different generations. So I think that education can contribute. I just think that there needs to be a little bit of a strategy behind how we do that and how we engage and get them engaged with education for a future goal.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. Dale Hunt is the Aboriginal recruiter for Vancouver Island University, and Richard Asekan is VIU's Aboriginal Career Coordinator. They join me in the studio today. Richard Asekan, Vancouver Island University has an Office of Aboriginal Education, a First Nations Student Services Office and Program, and a First Nations Studies Program. How do these various initiatives fit together? How do they complement one another?
Well, I think First Nations Studies draws in a large population of First Nations students into the campus community. First Nations Student Services provides that community connection. All First Nations students definitely need to be supported in their learning environment, more so than any other population. And I think the Office of Aboriginal Education tries to coordinate a lot more services, tries to bring in funding, tries to establish that administrative connection to community leaders, to politicians, and overall provide a great umbrella for the community at VIU.
Mm-hmm. And I was on the website, well, more than once, certainly, in preparing for this interview, and I observed that each of those initiatives seems to have multiple projects underway within its own kind of area of responsibility.
Yeah, they're all very autonomous. They all work on their own, in their own initiatives, and that's great. But when needed, they definitely come together and provide the support and services needed for every student at VIU. Mm-hmm. And everyone is welcome to all those services that they provide.
Dale Hunt, tell us about The Gathering Place, which is a new concept, an exciting new initiative on the campus.
Well, The Gathering Place is going to be hopefully ready by the fall of this coming year, fall of 2010. And I'm hoping, well, not our hope, our goal is to make this a gathering place, a central place for Aboriginal students. Right now, it's a small little corner of an office where you can probably only fit maybe 10 students plus the student services there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to provide a lot more gathering space. It's going to provide a lot more opportunities for students to get involved, whether they want to find out a little bit more about Aboriginal people in Canada or whether they want to do some cultural sharing on campus, where we can host events. There's not really many places on our campus where we can host a lot of people, students, community. So I think that it's going to be a central location for a lot of our Aboriginal students to gather, to find advice, to get help, to find support, to get connected to the community that we have at VIU.
We only have a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else either of you would like to add to that conversation, Richard Asekan?
I think that study that they'd done on the gaps is regarding the residential school colonization. I think Aboriginal people, First Nations people especially, have been not cultured to value higher education. Mm-hmm. So in turn, they don't value career development as much as they should or could or would. And I think that service providers such as me and Dale will make that connection to providing a future that they would like.
Dale Hunt.
Well, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to come and chat with you about Aboriginal education and all of these sorts of gaps, I think, that are within our societies. And I think that education and allowing us to be able to come and speak to these important initiatives allows us to create more awareness around education, and that it is a tool that needs to be used strategically, mm-hmm. if you will, as we move into treaty and post-treaty. I think that I can't emphasize that enough here in BC, that mm-hmm. we do need to be a little bit more strategic around how we engage with communities and promote education, because there is a place for it. It's a matter of where that place is and how we choose to fit it within our communities. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
And thanks to both of you for taking the time and the trouble out of your day to come in and join me in the studio today.
Thank you.
Now, Dale Hunt is the Aboriginal recruiter for Vancouver Island University, and Richard Asekan is the university's Aboriginal career coordinator.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.